Good evening. Buenas noches. Buenas noches. Buang. Bonsoir. Even though I happen to be fluent in all five of the gathering languages, fluent meaning being able to say good evening, I think I'll leave the job of translation to the translators. I do, however, want to greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of every nation on earth. Amen. Amen. I want to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord also of every generation. Amen. Amen. Now, usually when I speak somewhere, almost everyone has the same question burning in their minds. How old is that guy? That's my curse and blessing as a young leader who looks like a very young leader. By the way, I'm 35 years old. I have four children, four daughters, and have been married to my wonderful wife, Pearl, for 12 years. But this gathering is different. I do believe that almost everyone has the same question burning in their minds, but it has nothing to do with how many winters have passed in the life of Michael O. The burning question is this. What in the world is Lausanne? And why is it written on my t-shirt? Amen? Some of you may know that Lausanne is a city in Switzerland, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. But that's not why Lausanne is written on your t-shirt. As Doug mentioned, in 1974, an historic gathering took place in Lausanne, Switzerland. Of 2,300 Christian leaders from 150 nations, called by a committee led by Dr. Billy Graham. It was one of the most significant gatherings ever of the global church leadership. Theirs was a world of great uncertainty, both in socio-political economic terms as well as in relation to the Church of Jesus Christ. They gathered to consider whether the preaching of the gospel was still needed in a time when moral relativism and the death of God was being proclaimed. They gathered to consider whether the Bible was truly of divine inspiration, infallible with divine authority, and worthy of being proclaimed to the nations. They gathered to consider the uniqueness of Jesus Christ and whether salvation was found in Christ and in Christ alone. The result was a glorious, global, God-honoring, resounding Amen in the form of the Lausanne Covenant, which is a declaration and challenge for the commitment and intentionality of the church in world evangelization. The Lausanne Covenant has become a standard statement of evangelism and evangelicalism for many churches and organizations around the world. And in Article 6, it states, "We affirm that Christ sends his redeemed people into the world as the Father sent him, and that this calls for a similar deep and costly penetration of the world. We need to break out of our ecclesiastical ghettos and permeate non-Christian society. In the church's mission of sacrificial service, evangelism is primary. World evangelization requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world." Since 1974, through the leadership of the Lausanne Committee for World Evangelization, thousands of world Christian leaders have gathered in countless cities around the world for humble prayer, stimulating discussion, proactive planning, in addition to producing some wonderful documents and papers that represent some of the best and most globally representative thought related to world evangelization. We are a part of that legacy today. The two most significant Lausanne gatherings since 1974 included Manila, 1989, and the 2004 Forum in Pattaya, Thailand, where the Lausanne Committee called for a younger leaders gathering in 2006. So I first heard about the YLG while attending the 2004 Forum, where I met Paul Stanley, our wonderful leader for this event and for the program planning team. from young leaders all around the world, Paul invited all the various members for the planning team, except me. There in Thailand, after hearing about the YLG, I was so excited to hear about an event like the YLG that I begged Paul to let me be a part. So although I'm probably theologically the most reformed and Calvinistic member of our team, I think I can also say that I'm probably the least chosen. I currently serve as president of Christ Bible Seminary in Nagoya, Japan. I'm not Japanese. In fact, my family is from Korea, which historically has considered Japan its greatest enemy. But that is the glory of the gospel, is it not? God sending a Korean American to the unreached nation of Japan to bring a reconciliation that only the cross can bring, a reconciliation between historical enemies and with God himself. Every day I see hope for the gospel in Japan. I see that hope in the classroom, on the faces of my seminary students. And now, as I see your faces, I have hope for the church and the lost all around the world. This, you all, give me great, great hope that God is working around the world and that his work and his worship will move forward until every tribe, language, people, and nation come to know of his great love and salvation, and that God will continue to work as he has in times past to raise up a new generation of young leaders who will humble themselves before him, unite with those around them, and lay down their lives for the sake of the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ until he comes. Amen. And that is why the word until is written on your shirts and notebooks and napkins and pillows. As a reminder and challenge to press on and persevere in the spread of the gospel to the nations. Until he comes. Until Christ comes. So now that you know why the words Lausanne and until are written on your t-shirt, I want to talk about two more things. Two things without which we really can't go forward with this gathering. Number one, why we are here. Number two, the challenge that's before us. Here is the mission of this gathering. To develop, inspire, and connect younger leaders who will take the whole gospel to the whole world with the whole church. From this mission, we have four outcomes that we've been praying for since before you were chosen, at least humanly, to be a part of this gathering. Inform, inspire, develop, connect. Inform, inspire, develop, connect. Now, every single aspect of this gathering has been designed around these four goals. And each of the four goals is a dynamic that will be present in every single component of our gathering. But let's take a look at these four outcome goals and use them to highlight some of the main features of the YLG. First of all, inform. By the time you leave here on Sunday, we want you to know what God is doing, where he's doing it, how he's doing it, and why. In session four, our dear brother Mark Hornshaw will be leading a session called State of the Gospel. And with the help of two other younger leaders, Jason Mandrick and Justin Long, they will open up the global work of the gospel to us. They will help us to understand what progress has been made, the great work that remains, and what part we can and must play in the remaining task. I'm so excited about that, because that's how I got my calling. There was nothing mystical or magical about it. It was information. Info, global info combined with biblical info leading to life transformation because of divine inspiration. Which leads us to our second outcome goal, inspire. Again, you will find each of these four outcomes in every aspect of the gathering, But certainly one particular area for inspiration will be the plenary talks. And the theme which will inspire every talk during this gathering is this: living and leading like Jesus. Perhaps there's no more important issue for the sake of the whole church, bringing the whole gospel to the whole world, than leadership. There are thousands of opinions and books on leadership, both inside and outside of the church. A quick internet search reveals books such as Primal Leadership, Leadership Secrets of Attila the Hun, The Leadership Pill, The Leadership Secrets of Santa Claus, Ultrasonic, Ultrasilent, Subliminal Leadership Programming. Thank God I'm not one of the translators. Sorry. There's even a book on leadership called Why Aren't You More Like Me? Now, I've read some very helpful books on leadership, but at the heart of the answer to the question of who can truly inspire and actually empower world-changing leadership, there is no one like our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so it's our hope that you will be inspired as the life and model of Jesus Christ is laid before you, the greatest leader who ever lived. You'll also have the opportunity not only to hear our wonderful speakers speak on living and leading like Jesus, but also for those who are interested, every day after lunch from 2 to 2:45 here in the main meeting room, we'll have something called the Speaker's Corner. This is an informal time with the speakers for question and answer and some more personal interaction, which I think is something that younger leaders want. I'll be hosting tomorrow's Speaker's Corner with Doug Birdsall and Ramez Atala as our guests. The third outcome goal is develop. Another of our fantastic program planning team members, Andy Goodacre, has put together a wonderful variety of workshops that aim to do just that, develop us. It acknowledges that at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter how many books you've read, how good a model you've been shown, or how skilled you are. Your leadership will always be limited by the content of your character. And this is the beauty of the gospel. Jesus Christ, who not only turns our world upside down, but also grows and develops us inside out. And as our lives are changed, we can become world changers in the hands of our God. The workshops are organized around four major areas of the life of a leader, the role of a leader, the development of a leader, and the world of a leader. Now, you really need to be thinking about these workshops carefully, because you can only choose four. And if you're like me, you have about 10 that you feel like you just have to attend. The good thing, though, is that when you leave, we will put in your hands a CD that will contain a recording of every single workshop. Thank you, Campus Crusade staff. And for those of you who don't speak English, we will have one workshop per day translated into each of the four non-English gathering languages. And if you'd like to choose another workshop, however, we'd like to encourage you to partner up with a bilingual friend who can help to translate for you. So come to be developed, both in the workshops and also throughout the entire gathering. Finally, the fourth outcome goal is connect. Now, I think I'm more excited about this than any other aspect. Do you know what the best part of this gathering is? You. You all. You. 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 And you. I can't even imagine a more exciting group of people to gather together in all the world. Amen? The potential of what God can and will do through your lives is just mind-boggling. And so we come to connect. We come to connect vertically, first and foremost, with the living God himself. Oh, if I could just see how God is rejoicing over us right now with singing. And we too, as we connect and join our hearts and voices, will rejoice over God with singing. We're also here to connect with wonderful men and women who have gone before us and answered the call for their generation. As Doug mentioned, we have among us what we call mentors at large, who include senior liaison leadership and other experienced leaders. They are here like roaming shepherds wanting to bless us. One of the most memorable and life-impacting experiences of my life, especially during seminary, was being discipled by Robert Coleman, who also has been heavily involved in the liaison movement. That life-on-life contact was a tremendous blessing. And you have that opportunity here, and you don't have to pay any tuition. Grab them for a meal or coffee. If they grab you, grab them back. Corner them in the lobby, corner them in this room. They are one group of people who don't mind being stalked. We also come to connect horizontally in our small groups. I want you to know that these small groups are not an afterthought. We actually designed this entire gathering around the small groups, knowing that the most significant connection times will occur when we open our hearts, when we share our dreams, confess our failures, and pray for each other. Your small group is your family for the week, made up of people from around the world. Led by a wonderful surrogate father or mother, your mentor, who is not here to lecture you or tell you what to do, but instead is here to facilitate what may be one of the most meaningful global fellowship times you will ever have, at least until heaven. I believe that this is truly an historic event, one that will be remembered for many, many years. But as was mentioned before, it's not the first of its kind. In 1987, the Liaison Committee called for a gathering like this in Singapore of 250 young leaders from 50 different nations. And talking with Doug Birdsall, who was there as a young leader in Manila, the most powerful aspect of their time together was connecting, life-on-life contact that changed their whole perspective on the global church, the global task, and our global God. Many of them are still friends and ministry partners to this day. So I encourage you, seize this opportunity to talk to, pray with, befriend, encourage, and dream together with those who are around you. You have the unique opportunity this week to take a 110-nation tour through the lives and testimonies of your brothers and sisters around you. Give yourselves to others. Include everyone. Be mindful that many of the people around you have never been outside of their country or their region. Be active, eat with different people from different nations every meal. Through your fellowship, you could have a wonderful Italian breakfast, Ethiopian lunch, Vietnamese dinner. How great is that? Connect, connect, connect. You may make friendships this week that will last you for the rest of your life. Inform, inspire, develop, and connect, that the whole church might bring the whole gospel to the whole world. So in case you're wondering, that's all we're hoping that God will do this week at the YLG. So that's number one, why we are here. Finally, let's take a look at number two, the challenge that's before us. Would you read with me from the book of Ezekiel? Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land, you are a land that has had no rain or showers in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy of her princes within her, like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between the unclean and the clean, and they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, "This is what the sovereign Lord says," when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the alien, denying them justice. Ezekiel's was a time of tremendous spiritual rebellion against God, and it was a forsaking of God led by the leaders of Judah. And then the Lord proclaimed, "I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it, but I found none." Judah was in crisis, and the Lord was seeking someone, anyone, who would lead the people in repentance and renewal and stand in the gap. He found none. What will be said of the leaders of our generation, of us here in this room? What will be said of our response, both to the needs of those around us and to the call of our Lord? Tonight, brothers and sisters, I ask you, will you stand in the gap? Will you stand in the gap before the Lord on behalf of our generation? The challenge before us is tremendous. Poverty, AIDS, internet pornography, religious fundamentalism, Christian nominalism, global consumerism, 2 billion unreached people. These are the challenges from without. There are also numerous challenges within. Ours is the instant noodle generation of immediacy that must learn patience. Ours is the internet generation of information overload that must learn discernment. Ours is the consumer generation of global brands that must learn biblical stewardship. Ours is the educated generation exposed to the global marketplace of ideas that must learn the uniqueness of Jesus Christ as well as his relevance to every culture and every people. Ours is the forward-thinking generation that sees a world of possibilities that must learn to learn from the previous generations. Younger leaders, will you stand in the gap for our generation? I believe that the Lord is calling us to a great anticipation of His work. Anticipation that reflects great faith in an even greater God. My seminary, Christ Bible Seminary, opened in April of 2005, but was many, many years in the making. In the summer of 2001, I had an extremely important meeting with an older pastor in Japan, who I hoped would be one of the key leaders for our seminary. In very un-Japanese fashion, before our meeting, I had sent him an armload of information, explaining in great detail all the hopes and plans and dreams. While shooting down the Japanese coast together at 280 kilometers per hour, I wasn't driving, it was on the bullet train, I turned to him and asked, "So, Pastor, honestly, what did you think?" He paused and responded with a question. "Michael, do you know what a furoshiki is?" "Yes," I said, knowing the traditional square cotton cloth that you can wrap things in like books or food. Then he said to me, "We have a saying in Japan, your furoshiki is too big." Do you understand what he was saying? This project, this idea of starting a seminary, this vision, it's too big. Far too difficult for me or for you, Michael O. I listened to his opinion about, you know, how difficult it is to get books and students and professors and funding and staff for a seminary, especially in Japan. And I thanked him for his concerns. But then I turned to him and I said, "Pastor, we have a saying in English, your God is too small." I know today that it was only by the grace of God that he didn't slap me. Instead, he turned to me and said, "Michael, you're right. I've been ministering for over 30 years, and all I know are these small Japanese churches. I can't even imagine more than what we've had, let alone a seminary. But surely God is able to do this and much, much more." And I said, "Ah, I got him." And that pastor has been sacrificing for our ministry ever since as a key part of our team. Now, a mere commitment to our generation has neither power nor guarantee. Both an overconfidence in ourselves and an underconfidence in ourselves are deadly mistakes. Younger leaders tend to fall into one of these two camps. Some struggle with a youthful pride that feels we can take on the whole world even without God. Others struggle with a false humility. "Oh, I can't do that." A false humility that serves as an excuse not to attempt anything of risk or significance for God. "I'm so weak and untalented that even God can't do anything through me." That is not humility. It borders on heresy. Our confidence is solely and wholly grounded in the fact that our God is a big God. Our anticipation is solely and wholly in witnessing the powerful work of such a big God who can do all things very, very well. And so I ask you, how big is your God? How big is your God? Is your God a life-changing, game-breaking, problem-solving, crisis-resolving, broken-heart-healing, heavenly vision-revealing, miracle-performing, globe-transforming, big God? Amen? And do you wait and watch with eager anticipation for his powerful work? And finally, do you long and beg for the privilege of participation in that powerful work of such a big God? Standing in the gap, our generation, our anticipation, and finally, our participation. Isn't it amazing that God chooses us to participate in his work? He allows us to be ambassadors for Christ. He gives us the privilege of standing in the gap for him, for his people, and for the lost. And that is why we are here. This gathering is a call for our full participation as the whole church in ministering the whole gospel to the whole world. I hope that you have noticed something about the younger leaders gathering. And I declare it tonight, this is not a conference. This is not a place for professional conference goers to collect another conference notebook that you will just stick into some conference box and forget about except for a few conference pictures and a conference t-shirt. A conference often is just about a single moment in time that has no relevance or connection to the rest of your life or other people. The YLG is not just a moment, but oh God, may it be a movement. It is our great hope that the Lord would send us from this place to every region of the world, and that from the convictions and from the vision that you receive from this gathering, countless passionate conversations and testimonies would take place. Ministries would be started, ministries would be energized, and national and regional gatherings of younger leaders would be spawned. No, may this not be a moment, a one-time event, but a movement. Significant, life-changing moments here in Malaysia that become a movement, a synergy of movements that God coordinates, God orchestrates, and in which we participate. How long will we do this? As long as the Lord gives us breath. How long? Until what? Until He comes. Let us labor until Christ comes. Let us be a generation that longs for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. A generation that serves Him and makes Him known until He comes. That is why we are here. That is not only why we are here in Malaysia, but even more so, why we are here on earth. Here, as a redeemed people, bought at the tremendous price of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, here to invest the one life that God has given to us, that the redeemed from every tribe, language, people, and nation might come to bow before His throne, that the Lamb who was slain might receive the reward of His suffering. So until He comes, let us as the whole church bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Let us be a generation of younger leaders who lead like Jesus. Let us be a generation of younger leaders of whom it could never be said, your God is too small. And let us be a generation of younger leaders who stand in the gap. My dear brothers and sisters, stand in the gap for the Lord. Stand in the gap for the church. Stand in the gap for the lost all around the world. Stand in the gap for our generation. Please stand with me now for prayer. Lord, here we are. Send us. Send us as your servants, your ambassadors. Send us to our people. Send us to the unreached nations of the world. Send us to our generation. Lord, whom do we have in heaven but Thee? We declare that earth has nothing that we desire besides Thee. And so we long for the nations, all the nations, our generation, every generation, to know You, worship You, and serve You, worthy Lord. Visit us here now with power. Shine Your face upon us and start a movement. Nay, start dozens, even hundreds of movements through the precious lives here today. May this moment, these moments, be known as the start of an historic movement of God in all the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.